Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Oliver Miller, Eddie Curry, Joey Devine, Kevin Duckworth, Robert Tractor Trailer, John King, Dexter Pittman, Mangy Mateer, Patreons, Tyler Brown, thank you Tyler, Jackson Murphy, thank you Jackson, Daniil, thank you Daniil, musical guest, the Fat Boys, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temper. Why is this music still playing? What is happening? I can't find Ferrego. There it goes. All right. Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock Podcast. We are off to a great start to our first full episode in 2 weeks. I'm your temporary host. This is Round Ball Rock, and I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keen. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you let A. Whitney Brown cook there a little bit. That was really nice.
Really did.
I hung out with both of my nephews this afternoon in preparation for this podcast.
Well, Sean, that's an interesting question because, I mean, that's an interesting fact because I had a question for you.
Yeah.
Which is, do you know, is one of your nephews the privileged white kid that Paul George is searching for who hit and run his car?
I mean, that's that kid's in trouble, but you know what? Let me tell that kid something. If you can just stay on the run until May, he's not gonna do shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Just you gotta make it through the regular season and Paul George will be powerless to do anything against you.
We should tell
like
the listeners.
2-3 zone on him. Yeah.
We should tell the listeners what I'm referring to, which is Paul George on his Instagram story posted a picture of a, I want to say a kid who looks like he would defend Barstool Sports on Twitter, behind the wheel looking very scared through a window, with the text, anybody know who this kid is? DM me. This kid hit and run my brand new car today, then dipped without giving me his driver's license. If you know him, tag him.
I mean, I feel like maybe Paul George is opening this up to a lot of people being tagged as a joke. Mm-hmm, yeah. I don't think this is a good way to find this person. My nephew.
I do. I think he's going to find this person.
But not from this, not from tagging them. Like I imagine there are like 1,000 people tagged in the replies right now. I doubt neither of my nephews has an Instagram handle, however. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry. My youngest nephew does have an Instagram handle.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, does he have a driver's license?
No, he does not turn 2 for 10 days. The 5-year-old does have like a pretty elaborate toy car that my sister, not his mother, his aunt, got in a little bit of trouble for getting him for Christmas because it is real fun, like too fun, embarrassing his own parents, kind of fun. That nephew is not a white kid, so that that works out well.
Way to brag, Sean.
look, I'm pretty woke.
Sean, I have a message for you.
Uh-huh. Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels who.
Some business off the top. roundrockpod@gmail.com is how you email us. Hit us up on Twitter, the site that is for non-woke moralists now, at Round Rock Pod. Patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can hear Sean try and review all of Shaq's businesses. Yes. Sean, do you have any updates in that regard?
I do, actually. I put up a podcast about a Shaq-endorsed phone game called Top War, which feels like not the right adjective and noun combination.
Sure.
Like Top War is weird. It's like Top Chef. Anyway, that... I didn't love the game, Joey. You know how much of a gamer I am, but you can check that
which
out.
Which is so weird, because you do love his printer ink.
I do. Joey and I, each in the past few weeks, have ordered and consumed a shaccheroni pizza from Papa John's.
And spoiler, it was the worst pizza I think I've ever eaten.
Did you eat the whole shaccheroni yourself?
No! I had like, no, we can't talk about it. Well, you gotta subscribe to the Patreon.
Yeah. And what's the new project we're reviewing, Joey?
Us and some friends are gonna watch every episode of the new Fox show, Special Forces World's Toughest Test. Dwight Howard and Anthony Scaramucci do boot camp.
Can I just tell you my favorite thing about it so far?
Yeah. Definitely.
There's the collection. At the beginning, they say there's 16 people competing, and the people are from sports, entertainment, and politics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's one person from politics. It's Anthony Scaramucci. He's in a category by himself. Like no one else is even. I'm trying to think who's the most political of anyone else on the show.
Oh, well, I actually think there is someone on the show that is more political than Anthony Scaramucci, because he was only in politics for 2 days.
It was 11 days. Oh, Joey. Well, excuse me. Show some respect to the mooch.
But no, I think John and Kate plus 8, Kate, is actually more of a political figure than Anthony Scaramucci.
See, I was going to say maybe Dr. Drew Pinsky could be. because he's like a COVID denier, right?
Yeah,
so that's political.
But I feel like Kate... sort of invented the Karen archetype that has now dominated
Hey,
woke moralists.
That's not fair to Kate at all.
Yeah, I think it is.
I don't think she's like, I don't know. I never watched John and Kate plus eight, but wasn't her husband just like a an adulterous creep?
Yes, I mean, but also she was like a monster huge bitch with that haircut.
I didn't remember that she was.
Yeah,
such
you
a
need
bitch.
To watch the show.
We, I guess my,
I was. Look, Eva, you watch the show. I mean, look, he was horrible, obviously, but she was like, on just like a day to day level, like a pretty bad person.
All right, okay, fair enough, fair enough. Yeah, I never really watched it.
Anyway, Sean, a little preview. Something happened on that show in the first like 4 minutes where I was like, I know who is going to win this.
Wow.
So
are you gonna reveal
yes,
that?
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, you're not gonna save it for the Patreon?
Well, no, because we'll talk about it more in depth on the Patreon, okay. But I'll tell
you
right now.
You've already decided you know who's gonna win.
Yes. And it's because for those of you that haven't been watching,
we're three episodes in.
Yeah. They constantly put the Guantanamo Bay black bags on their heads, on the celebrities' heads, and then pull them off. And they did that in the first 30 seconds of the show. And there was only one quote-unquote celebrity who was not terrified the second they took them off. And that was some bachelorette I have never heard of.
Hannah Brown?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Hannah Brown. She's like well liked, and then also it turned out she's been to like a lot of like plantation themed sorority parties and things like that.
Well, she was the only one with no fear in her eyes when they took that black bag off her head. I'm gonna say.
I mean, I could see that too. I mean, look, she's been on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. She has no, and she chose a guy who, like appeared to have like a secret girlfriend. I think that was the result. She picked like a guy who like played acoustic guitar, and then it turned out he was like engaged already or something. I don't know.
Anyway, listen to us talk about our friend Dwight crawling through mud.
Yeah, I mean, I've
started this week.
I think they figured out his call sign. Mm-hmm. Sensei.
Yeah. Well, I don't have that drop anymore, do I?
No,
let me see. Hold on. Do I have that drop? I do not. I thought I had a Dwight drop, though.
I will say this, like, right from the beginning is the foxiest of Fox shows. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, I don't have a Dwight drop here. I gotta fix that though.
I'll tell you right now, we're gonna be exploring some other Shaq products because I found out my girlfriend has to leave town for a week and a half, and I'm gonna have a lot of freedom to explore the world of Shaq. Is what I'm saying. Dadcore is going on. I might watch that Jeff Bridges show on FX.
Well, while we're doing business, we might as well get some plugs out of the way. Sean, do you have anything you need to plug?
I will be at SF Sketchfest next weekend.
Ooh, after party time.
I know.
Don't forget to go to that weird hotel and get your Kind granola bar.
That's true. I'm excited for the spot. There hasn't been a Sketchfest for 2 years. So I'm at the Brava Theater twice. Do I know my dates? hold on. On the 27th, I'm at the Piano Fight Showcase on Friday night, which is not at the... Oh, maybe it is at the Brava Theater. It's got to be a Piano Fight.
It's got to be a Piano Fight.
Like, why else would it?
That's for those of you not in depth with comedy in San Francisco, Piano Fight is a venue, as is the Brava Theater.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, there's a Piano Fight in Oakland, too. Not far from my home. And then on Saturday, January 28th, I'm doing the special album release for my friends Corinda Dobbins and Daya Lakshminarayanan.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That's right. I said that last name correctly. Yeah. I'm not going to fuck it up at the show.
Yeah,
I say it 15 practicing. Times a day. Daya is pretty easy. I got to say four, five letters. But yeah, that show will be cool. It's produced by our friends at Blonde Medicine. Mm-hmm. Records.
Love Blonde Medicine.
I'll also be at the San Francisco Punchline on Tuesday, January 31st, mm-hmm. headlining the All Stars show.
Oh, hell yeah. The headliner.
That's right. You know, and I was chosen by the coach's vote. I'm not afraid to admit that.
I was on the Frotcast, the Film Drunk Frotcast this week. Or last week with the other Joey in comedy, Joey Avery. And we listened to Matt Lieb talk about how he watched Tar for about 30 minutes. He did not tell us to watch Tar. None of us had seen Tar, but he really wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, he talked about what's the horror movie directed by the whitest kid I know?
Barbarian. I've seen that.
I hadn't seen it. He and Vince had seen it. When I was on the Frogcast, we talked about Barbarian for like 25 minutes. I just tried to sneak in stories about meeting the actual dude.
This one was funny because both Joey and I kept trying to change the subject to something we could talk about, and he just kept ignoring it.
I mean, isn't that kind of typical of the movie Tar? Even?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Anyway, and then next week,
I'm really excited to see Tar. I'll be honest though.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly going to be, the best movie ever directed by, anyone who was in the cast of Twister. Actually, that's not true.
Wait, Todd Field was in the cast of Twister?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't. That's tight.
He's the little brown haired guy in the band.
I did not make that connection.
Actually, that's probably not true. I really like the movie Frailty, directed by Bill Paxton. Anyway,
what about Little Children? Is this better than Little Children?
I do not like Little Children. Too sad.
I mean, I'm you know, fair enough. I gotta say, I'm in the bag for Parada, though. Love a Tom Parada.
I also don't like the movie In the Bedroom.
Yeah, it's probably it kind of makes you think it's gonna be a bummer, right?
Yeah, anyway, that was our Todd Field check-in.
By the way, did you know that Election was based on the 92 presidential election?
I did know that, yes.
I don't know why I anyway.
All right. Sorry for the detour into the films of Nick Nightingale. That's the character he plays in Eyes Wide Shut, Sean. Anyway, also I will be on the... Oh, I probably shouldn't be the one making that announcement. I will be on a podcast I am frequently on that briefly canceled itself later this month. And right. Now it's back. I don't think they've announced that they're coming back yet, but Sherlock Holmes that one together, listeners. All right, Sean.
Yes.
Speaking of the movie Twister.
Yes.
Isn't Jamie Gertz in the movie Twister?
Yes, she is. She's the bad girlfriend, I believe.
Before we do a bunch of reader mail, do you want to talk about her son real quick?
Yeah, so Jamie Gertz is married to
Dr. Melissa Reeves from Twister.
From the movie Twister. That's the main thing that people know you from, know her from. Also, Star from The Lost Boys. Mm-hmm. She's also
she was in an episode of Different Strokes with Andrew Dice Clay.
Well, she's on Seinfeld. She's Jerry's girlfriend who can't spare a square.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh boy, she turned down the role of Rachel Green on Friends. That was a mistake. That was definitely a mistake. She is married to Tony Ressler.
Who owns the Atlanta Hawks?
He owns the Atlanta Hawks, and he is from Apollo Global Management.
We can't get into Epstein this again. Adjacent. He's Epstein adjacent.
He's Epstein adjacent.
Yeah. So that's right. That if by 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon rules, that means that Kevin Bacon is at least 4 steps away from Jeffrey Epstein.
I mean, this is not the most direct path, but yes, I feel like you could go straight from Robert Downey Jr. to Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know this, but that would be my best guess as the direct path here. Okay. I mean, probably not from, I don't think Kevin Bacon is into that, though. Okay. So, so Jamie Gertz and Tony Ressler own the Atlanta Hawks. They also, I think, are minority owners of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Sure. Anyway, ignore that part. Just get to the...
Doesn't matter. Okay,
we got to go straight to her son.
Dude. Her second son, Nick Ressler, is taking control of the Atlanta Hawks.
He's 27 years old.
He was born in 1995. Uh-huh. You know, a lot of fun. And he's coming in, he's joining the, he's basically forcing people out. Travis Schlenk, the architect of this current amazing incarnation of the Atlanta Hawks, the man who traded Luka Doncic for Trae Young and Cam Reddish, I believe was the deal.
Isn't it Hunter?
I think it's Cam Reddish, dude.
Anyway.
So he's taking over. So they're getting rid of the whole old guard. Rod Higgins is gone. It's never bad. It's never a good move to get rid of Rod Higgins, baby. And they are basically turning over operations to this 27-year-old
boy.
Joey, look at a picture of him at some point and just see what you think.
Okay.
He hasn't posted on LinkedIn in a while. He was
Nicholas S. Ressler. Okay.
He was at Wasserman Sports.
This guy intern. Looks like...
what would you say?
He looks like he works at a boiler room.
He looks like he has a Dapper Dan beard made of iron filings. Dapper Dan, the designer guy. Dapper Dan, the magnetic iron filings toy.
But he's definitely wearing like a boiler room suit. Like he's about to get yelled at by Ben Affleck in like a closed, like in an empty business suite that they're stealing money from old people from, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
he looks a little bit like a Musk reply guy. Like a guy. Yeah, he looks like a guy. This LinkedIn photo could definitely be the Twitter photo of a guy who is who's not complaining that his Tesla won't stop for elderly people when it's in the
he is complaining that it arrived 6 weeks late, though.
Yes. Yeah.
the Atlanta Hawks front office now contains Landry Fields, the 34-year-old, most famous for being accidentally signed to a very large contract to not successfully draw
Steve Nash to either the Knicks or the Raptors.
I mean, the plan was so bad. I believe he got injured in his NBA career. And
yes,
he
did.
A failure as an NBA player.
When he was not hurt, he was okay. He was pretty good.
I wouldn't say pretty good, but I mean, just basically, he's only famous for anyway. And then the cap strategy and administration guy appears to just be a close friend of Nicholas Ressler. Mm-hmm. He has not added.
Stop calling him Nicholas. This is a Nick, dude.
All right, you're right. He's a Nick. and he was he worked as an intern during the NBC broadcast of the Brazil Olympics.
Great.
And he was also a basketball coach. He's not very old. His work experience begins in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's 27. Yeah.
Oh, he is 20. Well, Ryan Silverstein, I mean. Sorry.
I'm not I thought you were talking Nick about Nick anymore. Still.
And Grant Lifman, who was the
Bad Warriors creator, TV man.
I believe he was the creator of a Bad Warriors TV show. So,
and podcast.
Yes. And then the next person they added was Kyle Korver, who's about to be an assistant GM.
Which, you know, Sean, the reason I brought this up is, you know how the Hawks kept mirroring themselves over the after the Warriors? Like, they hired a bunch of old Warriors people. They drafted Trae Young, saying he was the next Steph Curry. I'm a little worried that... Now the Warriors are about to mirror the Hawks in that a fail son will be in charge and Mike Dunleavy Jr. will be the assistant GM.
I mean, that's not great, but I will say at least Kirk Lacob has been working for a basketball team for a long time. That is not the case with Nicky Wrestler.
Anyway, apparently the reason Schlenk and Nick were at odds is Nick is the one who wanted to trade all that stuff for DeJounte Murray, and Travis Schlenk was like, no, that's too much for DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, he didn't want to trade.
They did it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the reason it was a bad idea, just to simplify this, nothing against DeJounte Murray as a player, but because the cap is going up, they just can't extend him. Like, no matter what happens, he is going to be an unrestricted free agent in a year and a half.
Well, and they also had to trade Kevin Huerter, who is
to dodge the luxury tax and get a conditional first round pick.
Which, Nick, maybe convince your dad to pay the luxury tax, man.
Yeah, I mean, he is a billionaire. Like, it's not that big a deal.
Anyway, we love fail sons here on Round Ball Rock.
Well, I would consider him more of a lost boy, I would say, to girt it up a little bit. Would you say that he has been more or less destructive to their front office than a twister?
Obviously more.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
All right, but the reason I wanted to bring the Hawks up before we got into our reader mail is because, Sean, we got a voicemail about the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, I love it.
Look,
okay.
See, sometimes it feels like I don't know what I'm doing, but it feels like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
All right, Sean, we got a call from a man. Well, actually, you know, we don't know. It was from a person in Atlanta. Sorry, trying to be woke here. I don't want to assume gender.
Up yours, woke moralists.
From someone in Atlanta who did not leave a name. Remember, if you're going to call us on the phone, please leave a name. But it's a great call. So here's our friend in Atlanta, Sean.
Hey guys, My wife and I like to go to B-dubs, particularly during the pandemic, so it's a nice little, you know, outdoor scene area to watch Hawks games in coastal Georgia. And most of the time we go, they ask us what channel it's on, which is a bit of a perplexing channel question. Anywho, my question is, who do you think has the least interested fan base and the least lowest widespread support? As a side note, my wife on a weekly basis is still heartbroken that they traded Red Velvet.
Well,
as she should be. Yeah. Let's just say that right away.
Also, your wife has a face she can now be mad at, and it looks like a dapper did. It has a dapper Dan beard.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Just have her call her nearest boiler room. Yeah, and just start yelling for Nick Wrestler.
Do not follow his advice. That is that pharmaceutical stock is bad news.
So Sean, you did some research about this.
I did.
So who, in your estimation, are candidates here?
So when I first heard this, my first thought was obviously the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, that was also my answer.
But part of that is Atlanta is a little bit different, I would say, because people like a lot of sports there.
Yeah.
It's not so much like disinterest in the Hawks as much as like
they love college football and professional football and the Braves
and the Braves and like going out and you know, like it's a good, it's sort of like too good a city, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think like, now this is obviously dependent on people's deals. And sometimes, I don't know, but I found a link to who has the best regional sports network ratings.
Oh, the best. Okay.
And I remember the Astros used to, in their tanking years, get like numbers in the tens of thousands, I think, which is pretty bad because I think Houston is maybe the fourth most populous city in America.
Yeah.
So you would not be surprised to know that the number one in terms of the regional sports network rating is the Golden State Warriors. I would think the Lakers would be higher, but I think they have sort of like a weird TV situation. Where it's
all of their games are on national TV.
Yeah, so, that's also true. Weirdly, the Cavaliers are second.
That sort of makes.
Yeah, I mean they're like significantly ahead of the Sixers, who are third. Then it's Bucks, Bulls, Celtics, Spurs, Blazers, Pacers, Heat, Lakers, all of those.
Well, and we should mention here that the Nuggets don't actually count on this list. If you remember right, the Nuggets have been fighting with their local cable provider, and people in Denver actually cannot watch their games.
Yes. So they are last on this list, but it's I feel like people in Denver want to watch the
Yes.
Nuggets. Like their attendance is not wonderful, but I think it's, I don't know. I feel like maybe my internet sample is distorted, but I don't feel like they're.
I know actual Nuggets fans, yeah. Like several of them.
So second worst on this list, and they might also have a weird deal because the number is very small, is the Orlando Magic. That might be the least compelling team in the NBA.
I feel like you can't really pick on Orlando because they're like
they've been to the finals twice, maybe.
Well,
or...
and also like if I were an Orlando fan, I wouldn't want to get burned again either. Like they've fallen in love with these guys several times who have like been lovable big men who were incredibly dominant, who then spurned them in the worst ways possible.
They turned and then on both Jack. Turned, I saw that newspaper poll.
the newspaper poll.
But it has been 10 years since Dwight Howard left. I'm not sure. Well, look.
But would you want to root for here's my question, Sean. Wouldn't you be guarded about rooting for another basketball player again if you felt duped so hard? And I don't even mean the, like, being spurned by Dwight. I mean, like, what Dwight became even after he left. Was your favorite guy. Like, it's like being in the worst relationship ever.
And then, like, you leave and you're like, relieved, but you're still miserable and broke. Yeah.
Like, you fell in love with Dwight Howard and then he became a snake man who farts on everybody and now does special forces training.
Yeah, that's... okay, third from the bottom is the LA Clippers.
That, to me, look...
Well, here's
the Clippers fans who listen to this show love the Clippers. Yeah. And there are very good Clippers fans, but there are not that many Clippers fans.
I will say this number is distorted because the Clippers now have their own, starting this year, have a service called Clipper Vision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is like,
you can watch like 80 different feeds of the Clipper game.
Yeah, and a lot of the commentary is from people that are like sort of associated with the Clippers. Like, I think Big Baby Davis might be one of them.
Yeah, like you can watch.
Jamal Crawford's one of them, but
you can watch four guys stand around while one Paul guy Pierce dribbles. Sean, you can watch four guys stand around while one guy dribbles on 80 different feeds.
Yeah, yeah. One of them's just the live feed of the training room. Yeah. Just a lot of ice baths for everybody.
That, to me, is our first real contender, I gotta say.
Wait, not Orlando? Okay, you know what? Fair enough. Okay, then the Brooklyn Nets are fourth from the bottom.
See, this is another good one. Like I've said it before on this show, and I'll say it again, the Brooklyn Nets are not a basketball team. They are just like coal that makes the media machine go.
I do think that, I mean, look, I was in New York in 2021, and I believe, I mean, ironically, you could get a free ticket by being vaccinated. Now, that was before Kyrie but it was like the first round of the playoffs, and it was like a 2-for-1 ticket deal.
Yeah,
I'm sure they weren't good seats, but at the same time, was the playoffs. I'm going to say that this is our first very strong contender. I don't love this, but the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's strange because I feel like if the Charlotte Hornets had just stayed in Charlotte, they would not be on this list.
Or they didn't have George Hitt, but it's, I mean, the franchise is 20 years old now.
But you know what I mean? Like, if they don't go to New Orleans for no reason, I don't think they're on this list. I feel like they were a very loved and popular basketball team, and then they left and then came back as the Bobcats for no reason.
Well, I mean, in 20 years, they've won 3 playoff games.
Yeah, and they also had the losingest season of all time.
Which got them Michael Kidd-Gilchrist instead of Anthony Davis. And where did Anthony Davis go? To the old team that moved to New Orleans. Yeah. So
that's, you know what? Rough. I'm calling it. Well,
I think it's the Hornets. Because everybody else, it's
they
like
love
the Wizards have fans.
Yes.
People actually really care about the Pistons. There's no one else who's as disinterested. Even the Pelicans get relatively good TV ratings. I think Some of these teams you look at on the list and it's like they've had bad ownership that is leading to this. Charlotte has not had great ownership, but they are mostly trying all the time. And look, people just don't care.
I feel like you and I very specifically can point this out and I can tell our listeners why I'm qualified for this, is because I guarantee if we looked at the baseball version of this list, the Oakland A's would be at the bottom. But the Oakland A's do not have a disinterested city or fan base. They just have been abused by their owner.
I don't know what the answer would be off the top of my head in baseball, but I would feel like the Pittsburgh Pirates are in a similar situation where the fans are like held hostage.
Right. And that's kind of why I don't think it's Orlando, because I sort of feel like the same thing has happened, but less ownership and more the actual, like, a player actually did it to them.
All right, so Charlotte Hornets is what
I think
saying.
It's Charlotte Hornets. Yeah, that's my answer. Yeah, but the Hawks are close. And the Nets and Clippers, I gotta say, there's an argument to be made.
For their situation. Yeah, given it's just like a lot of attention. And sometimes, they have famous players, but there is a certain amount where you're like, are you just here because you're in the city? Like,
right.
You're in the same building as the your parking pass.
Because the Lakers and Knicks didn't have cap space.
Yeah. No, that was a great question, though.
Yeah, excellent question. All right, Sean.
Also, Coastal Georgia sounds lovely.
It sure does. I want to eat some B-dubs outside while... Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention, though, actually, is as someone who has worked at a bar in a chain restaurant and had people ask them to turn the TV to a channel, I don't actually think asking what channel it's on is part of disinterest. It's that that person is hungover. The person serving you is hungover. They just don't, like, they know what channel it's on, but they don't remember because they're hungover. And those jobs are hard.
Yeah, okay. Hear that.
Because I would also be asking what channel a San Francisco Giants game was on at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, even though I definitely knew.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you're up.
Oh, I was just thinking that, like, those Buffalo Wild Wings commercials where they're like, we're having too much fun. Can you make this game last longer? I was thinking, like, how angry the staff would be when that happened.
Oh, for sure, dude. All right. We also got some mail in text form, Sean. So let's go to the reader mail.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean. Our first question comes from our friend, the strongest man in Chicago, Patrick Cosmos. He says, got kind of an anodyne question about actual basketball, which, don't do that. That's not for this podcast. Since it came up yet again, LeBron loves to take passive-aggressive swipes at management for not putting the right team around him. So the question is, what percent of LeBron's teams are LeBron's fault? Obviously, the percentage has gone steadily up, but it's not entirely his fault. I think it depends year to year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the Miami Heat, I mean, it's weird because I don't feel like he had as much of a direct hand at bringing people in as much as it was like, yeah, we can bring in Ilgauskas, that's fine. Like, I don't really think he was calling the shots on, like, Ray Allen. He would have preferred to keep Mike Miller that last year, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, he is extremely responsible for himself and Chris Bosh going to that team, which is sort of like 90% of the roster construction, you know?
But I would argue he really starts taking control of the rosters when he goes back to Cleveland, except I kind of think the the core of the championship team is not really his doing. Like, the trade for J.R. Smith was a GM move, not a LeBron move. Like, he asked for help, but, like, the help in LeBron's mind is not... Yeah, the help in LeBron's mind is not Timofey Mozgov. You know what I mean? That's, like, a GM move.
Yeah, it was, like... Trade some picks and get me vets.
Yeah.
And but, get Dion Waiters the fuck out of here.
But I also will say, trading Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love after they drafted him was absolutely LeBron.
Yeah, I think that's true. And, you know, I guess some of these are... Okay, so like... There's a couple of like really basic moves where like where you can point to where they're 100% LeBron. Mm-hmm. And, you know, axing Isaiah Thomas like the minute he got onto the Cavs.
Yeah,
that's LeBron.
But Kyrie leaving, not LeBron. That's not a Kyrie LeBron thing. Mm-hmm.
And them getting a draft pick back and not trading it in 2018. Mm hmm.
Not LeBron.
Not LeBron at all. Anti-LeBron. I mean, it almost feels like... I mean, Cleveland did make a deal in trading for Jordan Clarkson, then Larry Nance opened the door for the Lakers to get LeBron. But I don't really think that... Like, LeBron isn't that kind of a... So, Lakers team
Let's go through some Lakers teams. I do think... That first one, that was like the Suicide Squad, right? Where they signed Michael Beasley and all those freaks. I do think that was LeBron's fault in that he said, get me vets who can dribble, who can create their own shots. I'm tired of doing it all the time.
Uh-huh.
And then moron Rob Pelinka put together that team via that direction, right?
Yeah, Michael Beasley.
Remember how weird that
2018-19 team. Let me tell you some people that are on that 37-45 team. We've got Lonzo Ball, Reggie Bullock, the super cool Bees.
Yeah,
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who basically was like a sleeper agent for Clutch Sports, getting in there. Alex Caruso. Tyson Chandler, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, JaVale McGee, that's a LeBron guy.
Uh-huh.
Mike Muscala, weirdly also kind of a LeBron guy. Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, Mo Wagner, and Ivica Zubac.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know... I do think LeBron might have more than one championship if they'd kept some of those people.
Well, I don't know why they didn't just keep Zubac. Like, it's every time they're like, man, why does Anthony Davis... I mean, wish he didn't have to play center. I wish we just had someone who could just get rebounds and catch passes from LeBron. It's like, yeah, where have we ever found that?
Sean, why didn't they keep Mo Wagner? A second-round pick who, like... I don't know, can hit a three-pointer.
What did they do with Mo Wagner? Did this release?
They traded him to the Wizards at some point. I don't remember for what, but...
They got... Wow, he was a Cavs pick. He went in that Clarkson Nance deal. They traded him in the Anthony Davis trade.
Okay, never mind. That's why. All right, that's why. All right, okay. Fair enough. That trade... That was a LeBron trade. That was LeBron, 100%. But also, Rob Pelinka screwed up that trade, if you remember right, by not remembering the cap rules and had to burn a bunch of stuff because he fucked it up.
Yeah, I think they
that's not LeBron.
No, I mean, LeBron doesn't need to... LeBron should not have to know the cap rules. I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Fair for LeBron. He's extremely responsible for the Russell Westbrook trade.
Yes.
Because they could have just had DeMar DeRozan and Buddy Hield and like one of those guys they traded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and probably like Alex Caruso still.
Right.
So that's extremely LeBron. So the current team, I would say, is like very much his fault. Mm-hmm. Because I also think that the Russell Westbrook trade had cascading effects that has made them not want to trade future picks. Mm-hmm. And although that is Pelinka, I kind of think it's LeBron's fault.
I agree, but I also think there are certain people that are not LeBron's fault. Consistently deciding Dennis Schroeder is the answer is not LeBron's fault.
I mean, he actually has help, though.
I know, but Patrick Beverley, I don't think, to pair Patrick Beverley with Russell Westbrook, I don't think was LeBron's fault either.
I agree, but he's ballast, Joey. He is designed to be traded for mm-hmm. something else.
Lonnie Walker, also not LeBron's fault.
What about getting Mark Gasol? Is that LeBron?
I do think that was LeBron, yeah.
Andre Drummond, is that LeBron?
Yes. No, actually, I don't think that was LeBron.
Okay.
Kendrick Nunn, not LeBron.
Keeping, having 36-year-old Jared Dudley on the roster.
That's LeBron, yeah.
That's LeBron. Montrezl Harrell, LeBron or not LeBron?
I think not LeBron. I think, okay, you know what I think the Montrezl Harrell thing was? I think the Lakers and Montrezl Harrell saw a way to specifically screw the Clippers. They thought they could cleverly screw the Clippers.
I gotta say, I agree.
Yeah.
Can I tell you someone else that I think is weirdly a LeBron?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Alphonso McKinney. I think that's Bron, dog.
All right, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Bron or not Bron?
Absolutely Bron.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony?
Bron, obviously.
DJ Augustin? That's LeBron, baby. Avery Bradley, Kent Bazemore, Darren Collison?
Kent Bazemore, no. Avery Bradley, yes.
Darren Collison?
Darren Collison, I think, was just a guy floating around.
Dwight Howard?
I think not LeBron.
He's LeBron. He's LeBron.
I don't know.
DeAndre Jordan?
LeBron, obviously. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I got to say that I don't really think... I think LeBron putting the pressure on the Cavs his last 2 years is a big reason that they ended up with like Antoine Jameson and Shaq and Ben Wallace. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily think that that LeBron wanted any of those specific guys, except maybe Shaq.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe Ben Wallace, right?
I don't know. Oh man. That question kind of bummed me out. I got to say Patrick Cosmos, unfortunately.
I think LeBron, I'm going to cut LeBron some slack on the Lakers roster construction here, actually. I think he is about 45% to blame. Because, yes, he's made some demands, but also... I think a more creative front office would take those demands more as notes and not just do them. And then also not like would be more creative around the margins instead of just being like Dennis Schroeder again.
I'll say this. I think the Miami Heat would have been better off in 2014 if LeBron had more personnel power. So,
yeah,
I don't. I think he's maybe becoming a worse GM, but.
Sure. I just honestly think like the Lakers as a organization, it's like in their blood, like. To not bring in anyone new ever. So, like, when there's no. So it's like Thomas Bryant has been really good for them again. But again, it's like, oh, once a Laker, always a Laker. Thomas Bryant, he's coming back. You know what I mean? It's like Damian Jones again. Here we go.
Like, I know, but well,
they signed the same like 15 guys to both be the GM and play for the team all the time.
I will say though, the Lakers are only 2 games out of the number 7.
Yeah, spot. The West is terrible,
and 2.5 out of the 6.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they're 6 games behind your number 3 seed on January 19th, the Sacramento Kings.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big lead, but yeah.
Anyway, what's your percentage of fault, Sean?
While I agree with you fundamentally about the Lakers, I think this is much like I think you have to give LeBron a disproportionate amount of credit in Miami. That Westbrook trade is all him, and that like that's a meteor hitting the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And while I guess they could have been more creative in, you know, who gets a minimum contract, I think this is a full 70% LeBron.
Fair.
I think it's his mess this mm-hmm. time.
But I will say their fake bubble championship was also 100% him. I mean, it was, you know, 100% Anthony Davis, but like his GMing was, it was 100% him. So you get your credits and your faults. All right, Sean.
Yeah.
Our friend Some Guy asks, geography is out. People hate basing things on East or West. The kids that yell slurs at me online tell me it's all about vibes. My question is, who are the good vibes versus bad vibes all-stars?
Ooh. I mean, that would be a fun all-star game. Like, okay, can we do it in an all-star setting? Because I think we know who, like, the bad vibes.
Right. You want actual all-star players.
I want to separate these guys because, like, we know Ricky Rubio has the best vibes.
Right.
Javaris Crittenden has the worst vibes. Mm-hmm.
So let's look at, I'm going to pull up the vote leaders right now.
Okay. Great.
All right. So currently, Sean, as of 13 hours ago, your Eastern Conference guards are, how many guards do you want for the East? Say 4?
Yeah, let's do 4 and 5 front court. Maybe. Okay.
So Kyrie Irving, Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, James Harden.
Well, that's an easy 2-2, I think.
I don't know. You think Jaylen Brown has good vibes?
I think in the aggregate, yes.
I think he's on the bad vibes team, man.
Okay. Well, right. We have 4 other guards. I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a little hasty. Yes. So,
and weirdly, I would say 1 year ago, all 4 of these guys were bad vibes guys. But Donovan Mitchell has proven you can change your vibes.
Well, I have a simple explanation for the Donovan Mitchell thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
He hates Rudy Gobert.
Fair enough.
Like, he was fine with the rest of it. Remember when we talked to the Utah people and they were like, are there cliques on the team? And they're like, yeah, Rudy Gobert and everybody else.
Well, you know what, Sean? I'm going to throw in the 5th and 6th guy here too, because they're great guys too.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, I would say this guy's vibes have flipped entirely from Donovan Mitchell's.
Okay.
It's Trae Young.
Ooh.
Bad vibes, yeah. I think. Bad vibes, all-star.
Okay, so wait, let's get the West guys in, too, so we can compare them. All right, who's 6?
DeMar DeRozan, obvious good vibe guy.
Yeah, okay.
That's why I kind of wanted to shoehorn him in. Because
Okay.
Because we had so many bad vibes guys from the Eastern backcourt. All right, Eastern Conference frontcourt. Giannis.
Wait, do the other guards. So
you want Western Conference guards?
Okay. Yeah. Because we got to have a good vibe, yeah.
All right, Steph Curry.
Okay.
Obviously. Interesting one here, I think, Sean. Luka Doncic.
Good vibes.
See, I think he is like completely neutral vibes.
He's good for a teammate.
Yeah.
He's good vibes. He drove a crazy Jeep in here. He's silly.
It's true, but he's also like kind of a bad vibes player. You know what I mean? He brings like a kind of a weird attitude to a basketball game.
He's good vibes, man.
He's kind of like, okay, you know how, God, I hate to be like a weird Gen Xer here, even though I'm not even Gen X.
Okay.
But like, you know how.
Yeah, you're talking about my people here.
You know how in like The Empire Strikes Back, like Luke Skywalker wears black all the time and is kind of a bummer?
Yeah.
Luka Doncic has both Luke Skywalkers in him. Bummer Skywalker and like whining Skywalker. Like, couldn't you see Luka Doncic going, but I wanted to go to Tosche Station for power converters.
Why? I could, but I don't get the bummer Luka one though.
I just mean there's like a darkness to Luka I could see becoming bad vibes. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. He seems pretty good vibes
all
to
right,
me.
Here's a shining light of two shining lights of good vibes, I would say. Uh-huh. Ja Morant and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Ja Morant arguably, I would say.
Best vibes in the league, maybe?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say best vibes in the league as much as like, his vibes have a lot of momentum to them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's a big vibe wake that mm-hmm. he has. Yeah.
Sean, do you know? So, and then Klay Thompson is five.
He's obviously good vibes.
Russ is six, but we're not going that far. I do want to ask you though.
Uh-huh.
Sean, do you know who is eighth in all-star votes for guards in the Western Conference?
Jordan Poole?
No.
It's Damian Austin Lillard?
Reeves. It's Austin what? Reeves.
I can't even believe he's on a ballot.
He has more votes than Devin Booker and De'Aaron Fox.
Good for that young that guy. Joey, what'd you see from Austin? What was the most memorable thing about him in summer
league? Farmer tan, baby.
He had a farmer tan. He's representing a certain demographic. Okay, so to me, if we're just going top five here.
We're splitting them east and west, right?
Basically, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily think Donovan Mitchell has
bad vibes.
But
comparatively,
he does not have better vibes than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
And I will say Luka is the close one.
See, I would actually say Klay is the close one in that group. Because Klay used to, similarly to my light and dark, there's been like a weird darkness to Klay Thompson lately that have been weird vibes. Not bad vibes, but weird vibes.
I get what you're saying, but I just think
just like weirdly picking fights with people, like yelling at reporters about not real reports. Like,
I mean, I do agree with that, but now that he's playing better, that seems like it just totally disappears.
Sure. Yeah. I'm just saying, to me, he's the question mark over Luka, actually.
But they seem like they still have better vibes than Donovan Mitchell.
Obviously, yeah. And none of them, as far as we know, are anti-Semites. So Jaylen Brown staying on the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we disregarded the advice of our. Let's just do top five. What? Why was I think six? That's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So. Okay. Your five Eastern Conference front court players.
Okay.
Finally, someone from the East is going on a different team. And it's Giannis.
Okay.
Obvious good vibes, man.
Yeah.
Then it's Kevin Durant.
Ooh, he's chaotic neutral. Right?
He wishes he was chaotic neutral. He's chaotic evil, dude. he'd tell you he's chaotic neutral, but while picking a fight with a suicidal child.
I don't know, man. When he shit on his whole team and was like, why would you expect us to win with these bums?
Uh-huh.
And then they just like ripped off like a 20-2 streak.
Mm-hmm.
that's like, I mean, I look, I'm not saying that's good vibes, but dude has some personal power. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
But Jason, yeah, you can't really say he's good vibes.
No, Jason Tatum.
As much
possibly
as I hate
good
to say
good vibes,
it,
good vibes guy.
I think his vibes are really good.
Yeah, me
and
too.
The kid Deuce really, really helps the mm-hmm. kid.
Here's another interesting one, I would say. Mm-hmm. Could go either way. Joel Embiid. Good vibes or bad vibes?
Hard to say.
Hard vibes, yeah. Questionable vibes.
I'm not definitely saying good. So I'm going to say there's two clear good vibes here, but not. Uh-huh. I would not put Embiid in that clear category.
No. Also, another question mark vibes guy, I would say, in that his vibes, this next guy's vibes, I mean, clearly his team loves him, but they also are constantly, like, fist fighting on the bench and stuff.
Yeah.
He got dreads just for the media photos and then immediately uh-huh. removed them.
That's good vibes to me. Move. That's good vibes to me.
And that is Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say his vibes are definitely some of the stranger vibes. Like, friendship with Mark Wahlberg, love of country music, all the stuff that happened in Minnesota. I will say I'm putting an asterisk on some of the Minnesota stuff because
sure.
it's that organization, but
yes.
B,
yeah.
He was trying to get like a lot of it was money based,
right.
And I'm kind of like, I would put him in the good vibes category, but I understand that.
I just mean he's constantly, I wasn't even thinking about the Minnesota thing when I was talking uh-huh. about the vibes. I'm thinking about he and Udonis Haslam have to be like pulled apart like three times a year on the bench.
I don't know, man. I think he gets so much grace from Big Face Coffee.
Yeah, sure.
I understand that he's not. He's again. I think Tatum and Giannis. It's hard to really find. Mm-hmm.
And I think Embiid and Butler, you could kind of throw either way, and I wouldn't argue with you.
Well, and they love each other too, so yeah. They're like, hmm.
And then Durant isn't on. He's got to be on the bad vibes team.
I think
he has
to be on the bad vibes team. Yeah.
So we'll see once we get to the West where Embiid and Butler yeah. fall here.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So there's three good vibes spot, three clear good vibes mm-hmm. spots available. Okay.
Okay. LeBron James, Sean. Bad vibes.
Oh, I mean, he's bad vibes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
this year?
No,
yeah.
There's no one meaner. Yeah, he's bad vibes. He's mad at the refs. He's, yeah. He's also like, it's not that much. I'm not sure that Kevin Durant was ever like meaner to individual teammates than LeBron has been mm-hmm. in his career. You know yeah. what I mean? Like Kevin Durant is a real enigma and can be a real dark cloud, but I can't see him just like never talking to a teammate. And I mm-hmm. can see. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yep. Okay.
All right. Obvious good vibes guy here, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, there's not a lot to. I mean, they're still they're goofy vibes.
Yeah, and he also does. Again, he's a good vibes guy who does bad vibes things a lot of the time. Where he'll just like injure a Morris twin or whatever. But,
I mean, is injuring a Morris twin, is that such bad? Is that like a negative multiplied by a negative turns into a positive? Maybe.
It was pretty dirty. All right. Anthony Davis.
I'm just saying the guy hit him first.
Sure. Anthony Davis. Interesting one here,
he's
Sean.
He's definitely bad vibes, dude. I don't think that's even close. It's not really his fault, but he's bad vibes. His nickname sucks. He's awkward. He gets hurt a lot. Like, he can. Bad vibes. Bad.
All right. This is a funny one because I think we would have said bad vibes until this year. Because the vibes were questionable, for sure. Zion Williamson, good vibes. Good vibes.
I'll say this. This man has been finding his vibes, too. He was also, here's the thing. His vibes were so good coming into the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Anthony Davis, it's not exactly fair, too. Because, like, I think if you get hurt a lot, it's rough, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's safely on the good vibes team here.
Now, this last guy, I think, is our only true neutral vibes man.
Yeah.
And that is Andrew Wiggins.
He kind of has no vibes.
Yeah, vibeless.
I mean, his vibes have improved, but it's hard to...
He is vibeless. There is no...
Who's sixth?
Sixth is Paul George.
Would you say those are bad vibes?
He's similar to Jimmy Butler to me, where I'm like, you could put him on either side.
Okay.
I'll tell you who has good vibes. Number seven, the finisher, which, by the way, maybe the best nickname in basketball now, Lauri Markkanen. Good vibes, man.
Yeah. I don't think his vibes were very good in Chicago.
No, or Cleveland, but they're good in Utah.
Okay, so who's ultimately... Our bad vibes guards are
all just
Kyrie
the Eastern
Irving,
guards.
Connor Mitchell, yeah. Jaylen Brown, James Harden, and Trae Young.
Uh-huh.
And our bad vibes front court is
Kevin Durant. LeBron James.
LeBron James, Anthony Davis.
And then pick two of Embiid, Jimmy Butler,
I'm going to put Wiggins on the bad vibes.
Now that it's come down to that.
So it's Durant, LeBron, Davis. And then I think I would put Embiid on the bad vibes team.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
I think that's
fair. Over Butler.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And then our good vibes team is Curry, Doncic, Morant, SGA, Clay, Giannis,
Jokic, Tatum, Zion.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins, I would say, are closest edge cases.
Yeah. Well, and Embiid, too. I think all three of those are the same. Well, Andrew Wiggins is like, again, he's vibeless.
He's a vibe vacuum. You know, I would say it's probably slightly positive at the moment, but career vibes are definitely in the negative.
Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I would say 8 and 9 are like the vibe yin and yang of each other. It's Draymond Green and Kevon Looney.
Wow, Kevon Looney's vibes are
immaculate.
Shockingly good.
Immaculate.
They're
vibes.
The best vibes.
Yeah. Draymond Green, the worst vibes.
Those vibes are terrible.
And then 10, a guy I would have thought would be bad vibes, but has apparently great vibes, Domantas Sabonis.
I wouldn't say Miles Turner necessarily has good vibes, but it made no sense that they're both
centers.
I will
say, after Trae Young, though, the East is all good vibes except for one guy, the East guards. We should go through those.
Below
Trae Young. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan, great vibes. Uh-huh. LaMelo Ball, great vibes.
Yeah, they're down right now, but yeah, his overall vibes are great. Yeah,
Tyrese Halliburton, great vibes.
I think his vibes are really good. Yeah,
yeah. Derrick Rose, bad vibes, but it's Derrick Rose. Yeah, what are you gonna do? He's just always on this list.
The thing is, I don't think his vibes are that bad on the court. His soul's vibes are bad.
And then Darius Garland, immaculate vibes.
Pretty good.
Also interesting in the back end of the East front court after Jimmy Butler, Pascal Siakam. I think good vibes,
say,
but sometimes bad vibes.
Yeah,
another edge case. Kyle Kuzma used to have the worst vibes.
I think
now
his
great
vibes,
vibes
are actually pretty good.
Yeah, now he's a great vibes guy. Paolo Banchero, great vibes.
Yeah.
Julius Randle, bad vibes. Nick Claxton, no vibes.
I mean, when, God, there was a hilarious. I have to say, I did not catch a lot of Nets Suns tonight, but the best moment was Nick Claxton had to intentionally miss a free throw at the end of the game, and he couldn't hit the rim to make it count. While Reggie Miller's like, just shoot it like you normally do. You always miss. Just shoot a normal free throw. It's really good. Really good Reggie Miller moment.
And then we should do the back end, too, after Clay on the West guards. Russell Westbrook.
Not as the vibes are not as bad as people.
And also think. The vibes are not his fault.
No, I actually think his personal vibes are pretty good.
Yeah, same. Dame, you'd think would be a good vibes guy, I think is actually a bad vibes guy. But the press would lead you to believe he has good vibes, but secretly he's a bad vibes man. That's my take on Damian Lillard. Austin Reeves.
I don't trust his vibes. Yeah.
Austin Reeves, no vibes.
I think he's good. Irrelevant vibes.
Yeah. Devin Booker. Good kind of
they're good. They're good vibes now. Yeah, and now he's not like, with a Kardashian. Yeah,
he's like guard
his vibes
Tatum.
Are escalating.
And then De'Aaron Fox. Edge vibes. Good vibes now. It feels like it could derail at any moment and it will be his fault.
I thought he came into the league with amazing vibes.
Yeah.
It's hard to boy. I mean, you got to have great vibes to you know, Sacramento. I got to say enormous vibes upgrade this offseason.
Yeah.
Even though they traded Tyrese Halliburton, ultimately, while they got rid of a great vibes man, they, removed a lot of friction.
Well, Sean, we were going to do about five more mailbag questions, but I think we're out of time.
Well, let's not, we should fit. I think the last few are pretty quick. Let's do the next three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
one of these is maybe something I would like to talk about the last question with a guest because it's a deep topic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Sean, our friend Hannes Becker asks, what are things Bill Simmons defines as soup? I'd guess his argument structure is more like Malcolm Gladwell's Nigerians are the best basketball players. So my guess would be that Bloody Mary is also a soup.
Ooh.
What is his soup starting five and six man? All right. And first off, I have to find this drop. I never can remember what I named it.
Go
ahead. Play the drop. Sorry.
I believe we should ban the DH, long putters, extra points, the NIT, and pickoff throws. You really want to know what I believe? I believe in the four-point line. I believe soup is the perfect food. I believe in a belly.
All right, Sean.
Yeah.
What are things Bill Simmons defines as soup? Is chili... I think the way we get here is... Does Bill Simmons think chili is a soup?
I think yes. I would not say he's like Malcolm Gladwell. I think he's actually fairly strict on a soup definition. But I think that chili clearly counts as a soup. I think he would consider ramen to be a soup as well.
See, I think he would not consider chili a soup.
Wow. Okay.
I do think he would consider ramen a soup, but not chili. Okay.
Chili to me seems like it's definitely soup.
Would you put soup on a hot dog?
I can't think of a soup I'd put on a
exactly.
hot dog.
Exactly. That's his argument, though.
But I wouldn't put chili on a hot dog either.
But people do. Like, chili dog is a food.
Yeah, but like you could put minestrone on a hot dog.
Have you ever seen that before?
People don't, but I'm like, but that's just a weird, arbitrary definition.
Right,
like,
but we're talking about Phil Simmons is here. That's, I'm just saying, this to me is the argument he would make. Also, I think someone who says soup is the perfect food is someone that doesn't actually like food very much.
Okay, you do not like soup very much, too. Right?
I think soup, I like soup. But I think soup as a meal is a bummer. Ramen and pho don't count. But like when someone's like, oh, I made a pot of chicken soup for dinner, it just reminds me of being poor.
I like making soup, so I guess I'm in.
But like I like a bowl of soup like that comes with a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like
the idea of
my dinner tonight is liquid with some chunks of food in it bums me out.
I'll eat chicken soup for dinner, or like minestrone or something. Yeah, I don't have that big a variety of soup. I guess I guess I'm with you when it comes to like when someone's like, I made a soup that doesn't have
noodles or protein.
Yeah, like I feel like chicken soup is like a fun variety of ways to just have solid food. You know what I mean?
To me, it depends what's in it. Like,
yeah.
If like there's some noodles in it, like fine. But like a bowl of clam chowder is not dinner to me.
No, no.
A cup of clam chowder is an appetizer. that's my take.
Well, especially if it's like a cauliflower soup, you know, something that's like the same consistency all throughout. I will make an exception for pea soup Anderson's, but that's like a really specific carve out in the soup law. Okay. Go ahead.
Again, I think Bill Simmons would argue that chili is a stew and stew is not a soup.
That is
my argument. That's look. And again, that's not my argument.
This is Bill Simmons.
I think Bill Simmons' dumb argument. Like he's because he's into weird rules.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. He's gotta have seven rules.
And it would be like a thickness thing. Well, right? Also
it would be an odd number of rules too.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a 10 or
a 5. It would be a pyramid of rules or whatever. Okay. But I think he would think chili and beef stews. I think it would be thickness. He wants a brothy soup, I think. Because, okay, so again, to me, a man who says soup is the perfect food is a man who does not like food.
Okay, so what's in his starting five?
Well, New England clam chowder, because it's where he's from.
Mm-hmm. Not right. Manhattan chowder, though.
Mm-hmm. No,
just regionally.
Have a 3-page-long footnote about how Manhattan chowder sucks that involves Sully and a strip club and eating soup the one time he did coke in his 20s or whatever.
And then, this porn star just poured the soup all over her head. We're like, welcome to Manhattan, Peter Holmes.
All right, the other thing he likes to talk about a lot is how he's Italian. He loves talking about.
Well, he's only half Italian, Joe.
I know, but he loves. About how his mom would make, an Italian thing, and I think he would have pasta e fagioli.
Oh, I think
his
he's
top five.
I think he's just going straight Italian wedding soup.
Yeah, or sure.
Because I think he would want the thing that literally says
you're right. You know what? You're right. Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think he loves Americanized Chinese food. Anytime he has David Chang on, he's like talks to him about like this one Chinese food restaurant that is like a Chinese food place like that was popular in the 50s in Los Angeles. So wonton soup is number 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I think that's for sure. And there's like one specific place and like
Yang Chow. He will not stop talking about the restaurant Yang Chow.
He's got a theory that like the wonton soup's like the point guard of the Chinese meal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Yeah, and it's like a little bit bland too.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right, his MVP is just the chicken soup, though.
Right.
It's just chicken soup. He's like, not even Larry Bird. Yeah, no.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be like, he can do anything. He can play, he can guard one through five positions.
And also, he gave up oyster crackers after interviewing Steve Nash for his podcast in like 2007 or something.
All right. And then number five.
Okay.
I think he's going not a soup at all with number five.
Whoa, okay.
I think he says the bread bowl is in his starting five.
That's in the starting five, yeah. Like,
even though I bet he's a guy who is gluten-free now, I bet he'd put the bread bowl at number five.
Yeah, just for just
doesn't Bill Simmons feel like he'd be a guy who's gluten-free now?
He probably is. Well, I mean, I think he – I don't think he eats a lot of carbs. I would say that for sure. I don't know if he's gluten-free, but I wouldn't be surprised, I guess.
And then, so his sixth one, he is going to pick the first foreign soup he can think of to try and make the other ringer, the younger ringer people think he's woke.
I think he's going to say gazpacho without maybe ever eating it. Just because he's like, gazpacho?
I was going to say pho, but he'd say it wrong. I think he'd say pho. And he's also never eaten it.
No, no, for sure. And it's, yeah, it's going to be something that, like, he saw Mallory Rubin DoorDash once.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like your bread bowl argument because he'd start talking about how he'd rather be Robert Ori than Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
And that like, yeah, the bread bowl just knows how to win.
And yeah, then yeah, his sixth man would definitely be whatever the last foreign soup he heard of was, but yeah, not ramen. Because here's what would happen. The person he would have on this podcast would say ramen, and he will have never heard of, like, actual ramen, and he just thinks of college ramen, and he'd be furious. No. He'd be screaming at the person about how you could even call that a soup.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's
the episode. That's the episode,
he does not think Bloody Mary is a soup, though.
No, I don't think so either.
He thinks a Bloody Mary is what you order when you're on your fourth blackjack dealer.
What, Joey, both you and I think, have enjoyed Bloody Marys in the past.
I love it. Look, I've been sober for 7 years now, and the Bloody Mary is actually the only cocktail I ever want. It's the only one I ever crave.
What's the latest you've ever ordered a Bloody Mary?
Well, I have to admit something. When I first started drinking, I thought, like, I like spicy tomato juice. I would order a Bloody Mary at, like, 1 a.m. and then have, like, people so mad at me. Like, right when I turned 21. And then I finally realized, like, oh, these take, like, forever to make. You can't have a bartender do this
right when he's busy.
But I personally believe that the Bloody Mary should not just be a morning beverage. The Bloody Mary should be available all the time. Like, fuck the accoutrements.
Exactly.
A savory beverage is amazing.
I agree. I love it on a plane. I don't think of it, but yeah, if I was just like, don't worry about it. Just like put the stuff in it.
I don't need the celery. I don't need a shrimp hanging off. Like, don't cook any bacon.
Don't put any bacon. Just can you make a Bloody Mary and not?
But the problem is there's still so much shit they have to pour in there. Like, this has to become a societal the society has to change for this so then they can bulk make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
They can mix because all the spices in the Worcestershire and the horseradish.
They can just have it in that little fridge.
In the cooler, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I'm with you. Society needs to change because it's better late. Like it's mm-hmm. that's the time you want a little bit of like sodium and tomato and yeah. You know.
Like a 2 a.m. Bloody Mary is amazing.
Yeah.
I only ever do that in Vegas.
Vegas rules are different, as Bill Simmons would explain. And
also, don't make me as a 40-year-old man say the words Virgin Mary. That's the saddest thing in the world when I order one.
Yeah, can it just be...
Can I just a Bloody Mary with no alcohol?
Yeah, that seems like...
Let me order that. And do not make me repeat the words Virgin Mary back to you, because it's a bummer.
It's a bummer for everybody.
All right.
Nobody wants that.
All right. Queen Ozymandias asks, Sean, have you read anything fun lately?
I finished the Kenzie and Gennaro series of books.
Oh,
I wouldn't
so
say that's
good.
Fun.
That last one's not that. That last one's a rough one, but
it's just not. It's not as good. But then you get to the end, and it's like it makes sense why it's like that.
Yeah, but don't you still kind of want like three more, even though it's like a pretty obvious finish?
It's definitely over. But yeah, I mean, I love those books, so that was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Great
books, though. I highly recommend the Kenzie and Gennaro. That's my favorite. Look, I talk about Bosch and the Lincoln Lawyer a lot, but that is actually my favorite mystery thriller series. Uh-huh. Is Dennis Lehane's Kenzie and Gennaro series, which you might have seen Gone Baby Gone, which is weirdly the middle book in the series.
Yeah. I've gone from... I used to read more like rock and celebrity biographies mm-hmm. that were like a little bit trashy. Now I'm really into reading books about like nightmare startups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess the one I'm reading right now is about Uber
mm-hmm.
and just some good, like just hating some douchebags. I mean, I thought mm-hmm. I think everybody's pretty familiar with Theranos now, but Bad Blood was a really good book too.
Mm-hmm. I haven't read anything I've loved. We both read Desert Star, the latest Bosch book, which was psychotic.
Pretty insane. And then I kind of think you can't really go wrong with a Jennifer Egan book. I gotta say, my current favorite novelist. I would say that maybe the one I didn't like as much was The Invisible Circus, but Visit from the Goon Squad,
mm-hmm.
Manhattan Beach.
But look, Sean,
Look at Me, The Keep. They're all killers.
Sean, if we're gonna recommend a book though on this podcast, there's only one book we will recommend, and it is
right now at a minimum. You're looking at accessory after the fact on the armored van robbery, with three associated homicides and a bank robbery, including the murder of an LAPD sergeant during its commission, one of my partners, and three uniformed officers. The killing of Roger Van Zandt and, in addition to that aforementioned carnage, the killing of an asshole named Wingrove.
That's right. Yeah. The killing of, it should be called Heat 2, : The Killing of an Asshole Named Wingrove.
I read it, and now I'm going to listen to the audiobook.
Heat 2 is the best book of the year. It's the best book of the decade. It's the best movie I saw this year. Everyone should just read Heat 2. Yep. All right, Sean. Our last question comes from our friend El Hafnero. Yokohama Excellence has mascots named Pick and Roll. What would the mascots for Round Ball Rock be? And I mean, I think we've answered this before, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's obviously Don Nelson is one.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it is like Brooke and Robin Lopez. Yeah. Ironically, that they're mascots.
Yeah. But I think, my, at least personally, I like to think of Round Ball Rock's mascots being Don Nelson and Anthony Randolph.
So I would not mind having, like, mascots named Run and Gun. Mm-hmm. And one's, like, a real goofy rabbit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, literally just, like a handgun that runs around, and he's like Elmer Fudd. He always loses out.
Wow.
But, yeah.
Now actually, you know what, Sean, I want our mascots to be Tango and Cash. but they're literally like someone has turned Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell into like mascots, you know, like Fluffy from that movie.
That'd be pretty.
Yeah,
tight.
Those are our mascots. It's Tango and
Tango
Cash. Yeah. Or X versus Sever. One or the other. It's X and Sever or Tango and Cash. All right, Sean, that's our episode. We did our plugs. Sean, did you write a song?
You know, I'm going to hold it for next episode because I will be recording a bunch of songs when I am alone in an apartment for a week. Mm-hmm. Which is about what's gonna happen. I've got a couple on dock, but I moved in with my girlfriend and I have not had as much I don't know if we're quite at the stage of our relationship for me to
be singing. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, didn't I'll I'm gonna start laying some tracks down. The new song is a Rolling Stone song, I'll say that.
Okay. Well, that'll be on later. In a separate episode. As for me, you can follow me at Frankie Muniz, where I'm probably going to get horrifically injured driving for NASCAR. Which is what I'm doing now, if you want to keep up with me there. I mean, I hope I don't, but just knowing how my tweets go, I'm a little worried about myself physically doing this. I've joined minor league NASCAR. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Everybody, welcome the new Round Ball Rock mascots, Tango and Cash and X versus Sever.
Hello, this is Neil Diamond, asking you to like, rate, and subscribe to Round Ball Rock, especially all my friends in Beijing, where it began. Daryl was checking Facebook, started tweeting about Hong Kong. He got ratioed. Tillman made him delete it. Knew the backlash would be strong. Bots retweeting bots. Houston's out. No Rockets highlights on Youku. A tweet got Daryl fired. China thinks free speech is no good.
No good, no good, no good.
Tillman's stock declined because his GM was rude. But now we look at Li-Ning. They've cut ties with the Rockets. They're only backing Evan Turner. Cost Tillman cash. He's gonna fire some busboys. His next GM will use a burner. Z Jinping cracking down, banning preseason games too. A tweet got Daryl fired. Dark Ellis will rule no more.
No more, no more, no more.
Harden apologized.
But his jersey's now in the team store in Shanghai. You know, I once got into a trouble when I sang the song Cracklin' Rosie in front of Chairman Mao. Didn't realize that the translation into China, I called him a cuck. Daryl got fired. The Knicks job never looked so good.
So good, so good, so good.
But I'd be surprised if no one's died from Tillman's food. A tweet got Daryl fired. The situation is lose, 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 lose. But I'm terrified. NBA got owned by Ted Cruz.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.